Let's learn a little bit about Moshiach. Why, what, who, when, and how? Moshiach. We hear a lot about him. Gets a lot of press. Who is he? When's he coming? What's he meant to do when he gets here? What's all the fuss about? All those questions. So all the questions that you may have, is that Hashem? We can try and ask them. We might not be able to answer them, but we can try and ask them. And we'll see. We'll see, Bezrat Hashem, what we can learn. Most of the content we're going to take from the book of Rav Kramer, together with some other ideas that Bezrat Hashem will throw into. Okay. So, yes. No, this is a book written by, I think from the look of it, it's written by I think it's written by Rob Kramer. Yes, no, it is. Here we go. By Rob Kramer. The office. There we go. Stop. Okay. So, let's start at the beginning. Where do we first learn about the concept of Moshiach? Where is Moshiach found? So the sources, Moshiach. So the most common sources that we know of are in the Navi, the prophets. Prophets talk about the time of Moshiach a lot. Lots of the prophets, Zechariah, Isaiah, Amos. Lots of different prophecies in some in quite big detail. But even before we get there, we see that the Torah itself. Torah itself has references to Moshiach. Where? So just two examples. First of all, when Hashem revealed himself to Avraham Avinu, the Brit Beina Batalim, that's what it's called, and he told Avraham Avinu about the four exiles. So the commentaries on that tell him that Hashem revealed the four exiles, but also revealed to him what was going to be at the end of at the end of the four exiles too. That's when Moshiach will come, and that's when the world will be completed. That's in the Midrash, but it's the Midrash on that section of the Torah. So too, we see references in after Yetziat Mitzrayim and the splitting of the sea, when Moshe sang Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Israel, and they sang the song of the sea. Within that song are references which refer to Yemot HaMashiach, refer to the days of Moshiach, such as, you shall bring them and plant them on the mountain of your heritage, the place of your habitation, which you, Hashem, have made, the temple, Hashem, which your hands have established, etc. What is the temple which Hashem will make, which he himself established? Well, it's not temple one and it's not temple two, because they were both done by men. So the temple that is referred to in the Torah that Hashem himself will establish and will last forever, that's the third temple. So that's a reference in there in the Shirat Hayam of the also Yemot HaMashiach. So after that, so they're more oblique references, they're not so clear. Then we've got the Navi, the prophets, which are a lot more detailed. I'm going to come and see some of those quotes in some detail as we look at the sources. And then we've got the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Gemara itself, we're learning at the moment in the mornings, Sanhedrin. I'm going to see Be'ezrat Hashem when we get to it, around the page 100, right? There's about 10 daf there, which are all about Yemot HaMashiach, all about who Moshiach is. Is he Ben Yosef? Is he Ben David? When are we going to know he arrives? What are the signs? The Gemara is quite lengthy on the subject over there. Okay. So where are we? So we know through our various teachers and rabbis that we're in around the time of Yemot HaMashiach, give or take, depending on who you listen to. But most people are now saying that we're there or thereabouts. Right? Why? So this is stuff that we already know, but it's good to refresh ourselves. So we know that part of the plan for Yemot HaMashiach is that there's an ingathering of the exiles, right? That comes part and parcel with Moshiach, come together, right? Some say Moshiach himself will bring together. Maybe that's a different stage, but in either way, it's part of Yemot HaMashiach, the ingathering of the exiles, and for sure that's happening here in Eretz Israel. Right? There's no doubt that anyone could argue with. We are experiencing an ingathering of the exiles from the four corners of the globe, all different countries, from all different nations. Jews are coming back to Eretz Israel. Right? Also, that the fortune of Am Yisrael will change. The fortunes will change. We will go from being the lowly despised nation to eventually, Be'ezrat Hashem, when we get there, to being Hashem's chosen people. So that is also happening. Also seeing that, right? We're seeing the fact that a bunch of Holocaust survivors who don't know one end of a gun from another can fight off six armies backed by the world powers. We see that that is also coming true. That the strength and power and chashivot, importance of Am Yisrael, is increasing in the world. We also see that through all the Jews around the world that are the heads of various fields, Nobel Prizes, not even Nobel Prizes, business, right, from Facebook to whatever, they're still the Jews. We also see that part of the prophecy is that the money is going to flow into Eretz Israel from the other nations. Money is going to flow into Eretz Israel from the nations. And that's what you're seeing, right? Eretz Israel, when we started, there wasn't two shekels to rub together in this country. And you look around, where's all this come from? It's come from somewhere. We didn't have any money. When we left Europe, we came with nothing. We didn't come with money in our pockets. And even those making Aliyah don't have that much money. Now, maybe those are coming from the West, but we're talking small number and a small amount. But Eretz Yisrael is flourishing, blooming. Where's the money coming from? It's coming from externally, it's coming into here. You see, if you look on NASDAQ, the NASDAQ has the second highest representation after US companies. The next highest representation is Israeli companies on NASDAQ. From any other country. Right? That's overseas money coming into Israeli companies. So that's also happening in front of us, before our eyes. So, and other things too. There's we know there were different commentaries on what's going to happen in Yemot HaMashiach. Is Yemot HaMashiach a miraculous time, or is it just a derech hateva? It's a normal nature, natural progression, right? Well, what's going to be? So Rambam famously says that nothing will change except the subjugation of the nations. Everything will be the same. We understand that's what he meant. But he meant that everything will stay the same, derech hateva. But the only thing is that there won't be people trying to kill us anymore. Right? But everything else stays the same. And through that view, according to that view, everything is like it is today. Meaning we're actually experiencing Yemot HaMashiach now. And everything is just happening through derech hateva. nature, this company does really well, brings some money in, this one, people come back because they get bored in their penthouse in New York and they can't be bothered, so go live in Israel, there's a beach, right? And it's all Derech HaTeva. You don't see Eliyahu Hanavi coming, walking the street saying, come home. You don't see the hand of Hashem fighting off the Arab nations. Right? It's all Derech HaTeva. Or the other idea is that there's going to be wonders greater than there were in Egypt. Right? That the wonders of the sea are nothing. There were 51, you know, in the Pesach Haggadah, where we see there was at 50, there was 500, right? All the different miracles that were happening in Egypt, apart from the 10 plagues and the splitting of the sea, and the sea itself, what was going on there, and it split into 12 different channels, and each channel had fruit growing on to pick and water to drink, and right? All these miracles going on. And about Yom HaMashiach, they're going to say it's going to outdwarf that. Right? It's going to be nothing compared to the miracles that we're going to see, the wonders we're going to see for Yom HaMashiach. How do we fit the two together? So, one way is they're told they're just two different views, and we're going to see which one was correct. Or they're actually there, another way of expressing it is that one leads into the other. Right, that the initial phase is the Derech HaTeva phase, like we are now. Everything is coming apparently normally. But then once Mashiach himself arrives, then we're going to see the fireworks.
I just want to mention that even the Derech HaTeva, to say just like the Rambam, is totally, totally different. In other words, if we didn't have to worry about Arab terrorists, yeah. Imagine how much more resources and money we would have. We're constantly like, you know, Iron Dome and this and that, and terrorists sneaking in through tunnels. We're using so much resources just to stop them from murdering us. If we wouldn't have Shiva Machias, it would be like completely
right.
Unbelievably different, even Derech HaTeva.
No, because the Derech HaTeva that we're experiencing now is not really Derech HaTeva, right? It's we're so sunk into this world that we can't see a miracle when it's in front of our face. Mm. Right? Certainly in the wars and even those that we don't call wars, the skirmishes and the battles and whatever the Am Yisrael fights, it's all right. It's all Brody tells a story of Speaker who lives in Petach Tikva, who's an accountant, and he's driving a tank, and he got lost from his battalion, and he was a lone tank. And he was heading up this hill and the Golan, and he sees the whole, Syrian tank force coming to him with one tank. What happened? He started firing, so every shot that he fired landed. Amash, right, you're talking like field, and tanks are not, they're just like a bit that way, a bit that way, and they're like, it's hit and hope, it's not laser guided by any means, right? Everything he hit. And what happened? So that to start with. And the second thing is, they all turned and ran. Why? Because they explained afterwards, right, that they thought no one's going to be dumb enough to be one tank and come at the right. It must be that they're all behind him, and he was just like the lead one. He got ahead, so they're right. And if he's picking us all off, they just turned and fled, right? So Derech HaTeva, Tom Derech HaTeva, but it's not Derech HaTeva. It's from Ashot Derech HaTeva, right?
Well, another example is last year we had the 8 days of missiles. Mm-hmm. 1,500 plus missiles were fired at us. Uh-huh. How many people died? 8.
Yeah.
That's equivalent to one weekend of traffic accidents.
Okay.
And 5 of them were in a balcony when you had the sirens. Well, you don't stand on a balcony when you're having sirens.
Okay. Yofi, so we see that actually there's a quote from one of the rebbes who said, who in the Chofetz Chaim used to, who had a bag packed ready for Mashiach. And he had it by his door, by his suitcase. Right, he didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. We had a suitcase ready to come to Eretz Yisrael by the door. He was waiting every day for Mon Mashiach. Yofi, so a student said to him once, Rebbe, we understand that why you put the suitcase by the door, and it's there every day, because every day you're waiting for Mashiach. But we know from the Gemara that Mashiach can't come on a Shabbos, and not even on a Friday, some say. Why? Because it'll get in the way of breaking Shabbos. So he's not going to come. Mashiach won't come at a time when it's going to disrupt Am Yisrael or trying to get ready for Shabbos. Or on Shabbos, right? So why do you keep it there on Shabbos? So he said, Tov, he says, when Moshiach comes, and if he comes on Shabbos, then he'll explain to you why he could have come on Shabbos. Right? So it means in retrospect, we'll understand how all the prophecies were actually played out. Now we're trying to work from this end. But even though we have many different views, and certainly in the Navi, there's is he coming on a horse, on a donkey? Is he coming on clouds? Why is he coming with a... Right? So even though there are a lot of potentially conflicting views about who Moshiach is and how he's going to come. So one way is it tough. When he comes, then it'll all be like, that's from here and that's from here. Tough, it'll all make sense. Right now, some of the things might not make sense to us. Tough. They're not meant to. They're meant to also give us a bit of work to do. If everything was clear, and we knew exactly when he was coming and what the signs were and what was going to be done. So we'll see and wait. Right, there will be no suitcase by the door because I'm looking out the window and there's nothing, there's nothing going on. There's different views on whether or not you're allowed to calculate when Mashiach comes. So the mainstream view is you're not allowed to calculate. There are views which you're allowed to estimate. You have to know. Right? Different poskim say things like in the earlier days they shouldn't calculate because it was too far away, but now we're close, you're allowed to, right? Like an example of one of the rabbis gave was of a car journey. You're on a long journey. There's no point asking as soon as you get in the car, are we there yet? How long does it get till we get there? But once you're nearly there, you should say, are we nearly there? So you can prepare, you can get ready, you can he doesn't really go so much into the calculation of the date, but my best guess of when Mashiach is going to come, it should be today. But if it's not today, then my best guess is it's about a year's time. I think it's very clear, it's by you today. About then, roughly. Why? Because every day I travel from my home, currently home, in Yad Binyamin to Jerusalem, down the one. They're widening that road into a four-lane carriageway. They're widening it for something. When the road's big enough so people could all come up to Jerusalem, so tough. So that's my...
And you forget about the train.
Practically. Everything's got to come together. Uh-huh.
They're putting tunnels for the train. They're redoing the trains.
Uh-huh. So
it'll be right next to the... bus station.
Right.
And they're digging tunnels through them.
And that's what it means that Eliyahu Navi is coming. Eliyahu Navi comes to whisper the arrival of Mashiach. What does that mean? He puts thoughts into people's heads. Build the train. The train thing was like, build the track, build another tunnel. You know what? We need to widen this. We need to widen this route. All right, we're going to drill through these mountains to go, right? Top. So anyway, we'll see if I'm right. But
didn't Rav Dor say something this week about Mashiach's within a 40-year period, and we're in that 40-year period?
So he said that the Gedolim say we are in the period of Yomot Mashiach. There's different views as to there's different time frames, right? There's a few different expressions. So there's different expressions as to the arrival of Mashiach. So one's called Echbetz of the Mashiach. That's called the footsteps of Mashiach, right? You can hear him coming. Then there's Chevle Mashiach, which is maybe a similar idea, which is the birth pangs of Mashiach. Then you've got Yomot Mashiach, the days of Mashiach. And you've got Tchiyat HaMetim, and then you've got something called Olam HaBa, right? Or La'atid Lavo, the time to come. So each of those potentially, it depends on your commentator as to which area of time you're talking about, and when Moshiach actually arrives in that. We know that we've got 6,000 years. The Gemara says that the world will stand for 6,000 years. Right? And by the end of that 6,000 years, we're into the 7,000, which is all Shabbos. The 6,000 years represent the sixth the 6 days of creation, and then the 7th day is all Shabbos. So after that 6,000 years is up, it's all Shabbos. That's it. It's a different world completely. Right? We're waiting for that Shabbos. Right? It's 1,000 years of Shabbos, whatever that means. Yes.
That's my question. Why do you wait for the Mashiach? Why? What is this?
Because we have to. Yeah. We're told to wait. No question.
The question is about Rabbi Nathan. You said my Mashiach is arrived.
It's his personal Mashiach is arrived. Nathan.
What means? When Mashiach comes, means we make all Shabbat.
Yeah.
We realize that Hashem is in Israel.
Okay.
Every person can bring the Mashiach. Or instead, in his family, in his friendship.
Right. So every person can bring his own Mashiach. But also,
the people that they stay in Israel, I pray the Mashiach come. But they do nothing.
So people have a different view about what Mashiach is. Some people think, unfortunately, erroneously, that Mashiach is going to come and fix all my problems.
Yeah.
I've got a big mortgage and a big debt and I can't afford it. It's all right, Mashiach will be here soon and I won't have to worry about it. Right? That I don't like this job that I'm doing very much. All right, Mashiach will come and fix it. My shalom bayit is really lousy and my kids are off the derech, chas v'shalom. But when Mashiach comes, everything will be fine. Right? He's going to come and save me from my problems. It's not really the idea of Mashiach at all. Right? In order for Mashiach to come, we have to change a lot. Mashiach is a world of truth. Right? When Mashiach comes just to reveal what the truth is. The light that Hashem will put into the world at that time is a light that will all see the truth. And as Rav Jor talks about often, it's not such a good thing that Mashiach comes when we're not ready. Right, it's a very dangerous thing to happen. Right, we can't take a lot of light. Right, a lot of light, too much light will blind us. Too much light will kill us. Can't accept it. We can't take it. Even in our own lives, Hashem has to go with us very slowly, slowly, slowly. Right? If I knew now, if Hashem wanted to try and give me the knowledge I knew now 15 years ago, right? Right, where, how far I've come, how I didn't even know, not even on the radar. Right, the stuff we have, stuff that we know, and the stuff that we don't know. Right, stuff that we know, I know how to read English. Stuff that I don't know how to read Chinese. That's stuff I don't know, and that comprises about 2% of the world, if I'm lucky. The other 98% is stuff that I don't even know I don't know. I know that I don't know Chinese, but there's stuff that I don't even know I don't know, right? And that's the majority by far, right? You can't give me all that knowledge straight at once. That's just true. I just can't handle that. I can't handle that. Apart from the fact that when Hashem becomes obvious, apparent in the world, then it's very embarrassing. Very embarrassing, right? To be caught with your hand in the cookie jar is nothing compared to caught your hand in the eternal cookie jar, right? That's right. So we have to be at a place where we can, which is why it has to come slowly, which is why we have something called Ivet, the footsteps of Mashiach. We hear it coming. We have Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs. Right? Things get different. Right? Why is it called Chevle Mashiach, the birth pangs? It's like a birthing process. To some extent, and the birth pangs are. How does that? If you're zocher to know that the birthing process, and the birthing process before the birth, you have contractions. The contractions are very painful. The contractions come regularly, but closer and closer together. As you get nearer the birth, so you have one contraction, the first contraction that a woman has, and then maybe a few hours later, she'll have another one. And she'll call the hospital. And I'll say, yeah, don't bother coming in until the contractions are like 20 minutes apart. Because then you're getting close, right? And then by the time it's actually happening, there'll be whatever. And that's the process that Am Yisrael go through. Right? And we know one of the signs, one that we know is that as things get more and more speeded up, time speeds up. You know, time is, you can feel the time is speeding up. Right? Everything that's happening now, just in the, forget the Jewish world, the rest of the world, is everything speeding up. Right? We were on a, from the beginning of the century, and then the last 50 years, and then the last 20 years, and the last 10 years, right? You can chart the exponential growth of knowledge, progress, technology, everything in the world. Everything's speeding up. We're speeding up to that end. Right, everything feels like it's getting quicker. Yes?
You mentioned that it's not point of Mashiach that all our problems are resolved, but isn't it true that that will, it may not be the point of things, but it is true that those things will happen, right?
Yes. But it's a question of how am I going to still be standing when everything's solved? Right? I can solve your money problems very easily. You know how? I can just take it all away. You've got no money problems now. You're right. You just solved that very nicely. Can I deal with the fact that I don't have any money anymore now? Right? That's very difficult. Right? Certainly one of the Vilna Gaon writes that the money will be worthless in the time.
Right?
He says that that's the third and final test for Am Yisrael, right? That we see in the Shema that it says that you will serve Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the word might is mordecha, so that also translates as money, wealth. So how do you understand that? So he says serve Hashem with all your soul. That was the Rishonim, the people at the beginning, the Tanayim, the Gedolim. With all of your heart first, all your heart, who served Hashem with all their heart. Then after that, all your soul is those who died on Kiddush Hashem, right? That was they gave up their life, right? That was the Crusades, the Holocaust, everything, right? That they gave up. And now we come to the final test, which is the hardest, believe it or not, to serve Hashem with all your wealth, to give that up, right? To give up money, hold on a minute. Let's just think about this first before we right? That's the Vigonan says the hardest test.
If you think about it, it's like making Aliyah, because even with all the success of Nefesh B'Nefesh, it's only been less than 0.1% of the American population, of the Jewish American population, that's made Aliyah.
Okay.
And their main concern is Parnassa, and moving their wealth over, selling their house and everything else. And
it's an economic test. To make Aliyah is basically an economic test. When you boil it down.
Some also believe that you can't make Aliyah until after Mashiach.
Some say that, and if you press them hard, there's very few. There is some, but there's very few that actually believe that to the end. And a lot of them may say that as an excuse because they don't want to. They don't want to miss out on Target and all the other exciting things. That
those are easy to move here.
And
in the other countries of the world, you just bring your money here and it'll be worth more anyway.
But there's a mindset that Hashem has deliberately put into the world that when you come to Israel, you're not going to get a job, and if you get a job, it's going to pay you, if you're lucky, a couple of $100 a month.
But
and you're going to have to
get a job anywhere in the world and just work. Plus, most jobs are outsourced anyway, so it doesn't even matter. You get paid American wages while it's being done in India or Israel.
So, the truth is, it's not what it appears to be, but it's an imagination, it's an illusion that people have. If you could guarantee someone the same standard of living, the same everything, well, yeah, fine, come, but you can't do that. And that's what they're waiting for. That's what everyone's waiting for.
Even the most extreme view about this idea of not coming here, it doesn't say not coming here. It just says not coming here on not mess. It's that everybody shouldn't come at once. But that, right? Even Satmar would... wouldn't say no one can come. Or
no, no. I think Satmar... No, look, the Satmar argument is a very strong Torah argument. Right? Yeah. The Torah says that you shouldn't. There are sources which say that you shouldn't come to Eretz Israel. So we explain it. The rest of the mainstream understand that that doesn't apply, and it doesn't apply for different reasons: not en masse, not against the will of the nations. And we got the will of the nations and the UN vote, so we have the permission from the will of the nations that we can come back, and etc. Et so there are. But
I heard that even the strongest Satmar is that any Satmar could come here
individually.
It's just they can't like bring
and Israel shouldn't come as a
or even though
right.
That's what I heard.
But even with nefesh benefesh, these are individuals. You fill out applications as an individual or as a family.
Interesting. I was in Machon Meir studying. One of the guys who was studying in the class, who made Aliyah, Baal Teshuva, and he was in Lakewood, I think, Lean Eddie in Lakewood, or in Baltimore, one of the big centers. Anyway, he started on his road back to Judaism, whatever, and he went to the yeshiva there, and he spoke to them, and it occurred to him, wait a minute, shouldn't we all be in Eretz Israel? Isn't that the whole, like, you know, just from Pshat, like, basically, should we be there? So he went to the Rosh Hashiva, and he said, one of the questions I got, why aren't we all going, isn't that the idea? Rosh Hashiva of, I can't remember if it's labeled, or one of the other major communities, said to him, you know what, truth is you're right, the truth is the reason why we're here is it's comfortable.
Wow. Amazing.
That brings up another issue, in that even those that are studying here for a year, they get a lot of flack from their in-laws and parents. Simply say, once the year's over, come back. You'll make your money in the States.
Right, but they're not interested in their top. They're protecting their own position. But that's a different story. Let's move forward a little bit. So in the Imot HaMashiach, so we have Gemaras like Gemara and Shabbat. I don't know if you got to Shabbat. Where you want Daf? You know, you got past Daf Lamed, Daf 30, yeah, where it says that in Imot HaMashiach the clothes are going to grow on trees.
Yeah.
Clothes will grow on trees. Clothing, begadim, will grow on the trees. It says that in the Gemara there, and Shabbat. So how we choose to understand that? But we see that at some point things are going to get to a miraculous level, if not already, right? We're already living in miraculous times, right? 100 years ago, 200 years ago, right? To tell someone, you know what, in the future, if you want to speak to your relative in the other side of the world, you can do so instantaneously. Wait, really? And you can actually see them as well instantaneously. Yeah, right. You're talking. Yeah, then you're talking miracles. You're talking Yamashia. We're doing that right now. Skype, right? Or this, right? And clothes will grow on trees. What does that mean? It means that you walk into a store and there's 200 suits to choose from. Right? 200 years ago, if you want a suit, you go to a tailor. Takes him, you know, a year to make. Right? Clothes don't grow on trees, but now they do. Apparently, you can go into the supermarket. You can buy clothes. Right? So
not only that, but literally clothes are growing on trees, because one of the major fiber sources is called hemp.
Okay.
And hemp is from the tree.
It's not from plants, not from trees.
No, it's hemp is marijuana.
Yeah, which is in the tree.
But it's classified as a tree.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not bulky on marijuana, so
versus cotton, which is actually
a bush.
And you're pulling the fire off.
Okay. So if you eat hemp, you make an eight, you don't make an adama. Top. So we have to come before 6,000. So we know he has to come before 6,000, because by the time we get to 6,000, it's too late. Like 6,000, that's it, Shabbos. Everything's changed. He has to come before that to fix the world. So at some time before the end of 6,000, he has to come. He's not potentially the last final day. He could come at the right, but there's also the period of Tichiyat HaMetim. We know the period of Tichiyat HaMetim is 40-year period. So the understanding too that also has to come before the 6,000. So we need Moshiach, Gog and Magog. That also has to happen. The wars of Moshiach has to happen before that time. At the end of 6,000, it's finished. We're all done. So all that period brings us now back to more towards where we are now. We're in 5774. So what's that? That's 226 years left before 6,000.
So
potentially. But at what point Moshiach comes in now, we don't know. We just know that he has to come before the end of that. Right? And there's still work to do in that period.
Now, isn't there an opinion that the War of Gog and Magog already happened during World War II?
No, there was several opinions on the war, what it meant, whether it was a physical war, whether it's a spiritual war, whether that's the only war of Mashiach or not. Like whether that War of Gog and Magog doesn't necessarily mean the only war of Mashiach. Like even if War of Gog and Magog was World War II, then there's other. There's other prophecies that we see in Zechariah particularly, I think, that the nations are going to come against Am Yisrael and against Jerusalem, right? And there's going to be a day that's not really a day and a night that's not right, and it's going to top. There's all stuff, the Mount of Olives are going to split open. So there's all going to be fireworks going on anyway, even if it's true that Gog and Magog has already happened. Okay. So, who is Moshiach? Who is Moshiach? So, who is he going to be? So, I'm going to read you a quote here from the book, because it's a nice, it says nice. The soul of Moshiach, the Arizal, the Ari HaKadosh writes as follows. He knows what he was talking about. Moshiach will be born from man and woman as any other human being. Right? He's not coming down from the sky on a cloud. Right? He's a normal person. He will be very righteous and perform many meritorious deeds. I don't know, I'd like to see the Hebrew. Right? It's easier to understand. He'll do many mitzvahs, thereby constantly elevating himself. Right? He's going to keep getting higher and higher. His efforts will ultimately bring him to a very exalted level, at which point he will be able to receive his yechidah. Yechidah means a unique soul that was prepared for him prior to creation. He will then realize who he is and what his mission will be. So Moshiach doesn't know he's Moshiach until he gets the soul of Moshiach. Until then, he is still a normal person, he's not Moshiach, but just with an extra soul, right? He's a normal person and he works on himself. And when he worked on himself to get to a very high level, at that point Hashem says, Yofi. Hashem puts in him this unique soul that's called the Yechidah. And then he knows what he realizes he's Moshiach, and he knows what he needs to do. He'll have the understanding of what his mission will be. And he will be endowed by heaven with the power to fulfill his task. He compares it here to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is also born of a man and woman, lived a life of righteousness. By the time he turned 80, he'd risen to such an exalted level that he merited the revelation of the burning bush. At the bush, he received the much higher soul, one that was capable of transcending all the diversities of the Jewish nation. Well, the soul of Moshiach is the soul of Am Yisrael. It's a helek. The whole of Am Yisrael is comprised within Moshiach. He was therefore able to go down into Egypt and to redeem all the Jews. Moshiach will likewise be born into an ordinary family and suffer the difficulties of growing up just like everyone else does. Rabbi Nachman once remarked, you should know that Moshiach's parents won't be such oy oy oy. It's not Moshiach's not going to come from a great line of Gedolim, and he's going to be from everybody's going to know he was like chosen.
But isn't there another thing that says that he's going to come from the descendants of the Nachum?
No.
Sure
he says he's going to be one of my people. So what do we see? So Moshiach is not going to be identified until the time is right. Every generation has its potential Moshiach. Right? The Gemara is clear on that every generation has its potential Moshiach. And it's just a question of whether or not Hashem decides this is the time. And
Reuven Levy, new series Moshiach.
What's the book?
Called Moshiach, Who, What, Where, I, When, How.
And who's the author?
Rabbi Kramer, Chaim Kramer.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll join this together.
Yeah. Okay, so on that point, it says in Masechet Sanhedrin that three things come unexpectedly. Moshiach, a windfall, and a scorpion. In Moshiach, in Masechet Sanhedrin, when they're talking about Moshiach over there, one of the things that says is three things come unexpectedly, without warning, when you're not expecting them. One is Moshiach. Moshiach, a windfall, a big gain, and a scorpion, something that bites you. Right? You don't see them coming. So we're actually not going to see it coming. So just like Rabbi Yaakov was saying, that predictions are usually based on the fact that you see it coming. But the Gemara says you're not going to see it coming. Right? You're going to be busy with other stuff. You're going to be going to sneak in, right? Tov. Why is that going to happen? So the soul of Mashiach to come into the world is not pashut. It's not simple. In the spiritual world, the Hashem rules the world through justice. It has to be there is in Shemayim, we know, always a Beit Din that is arguing for justice and truth. That has to come through. Everything has to be done truthfully. And for Mashiach to come into the world, we don't deserve it. So Hashem wants to put Mashiach into the world, but the attribute of truth says you can't do it. You can't bring such a soul into the world. So what happens? So Hashem has to bring that soul into the world through very difficult circumstances, because that's the only way that to equal the arguments that say no, don't do it. So he says, you know what? I'm going to do it through this way. I'm going to do it through very difficult channels that is going to have a lot going against it, and the chance of it actually coming off is very small. Right? So we see, what am I talking about? So we see that the whole process of the birth of Mashiach through the generations is a very difficult one. Right? We know that that Moshiach's soul came, the King David, who was the forerunner of Moshiach, for King David to come into the world was a very difficult thing. There was a lot of things against it. For a start, his neshama was never meant to come into the world at all. Right, we see the Midrash that says Adam HaRishon gave 70 years of his life to the neshama of King David, that it will come into the world. Because it was otherwise not going to be able to make it into the world. So Adam Rishon gave up his own 70 years to allow that to happen. Then we saw that the passage of Mashiach had to come through Yehuda, right? Through the tribe of Yehuda. And how did that happen? So Yehuda, we know from the story as it's written in the Torah that he cohabited with Tamar. Tamar had to dress up as a prostitute, in order for that to happen. And through that union, that's where the descendants of Yehuda and Moshiach through that, King David and then Moshiach through that. Also, later on in the journey, it had to come via Lot. We know what happened with Lot and his two daughters. Right, again, through a very bizarre and completely unlikely scenario for the future Redeemer of the Jewish people to come via that way. And even when King David himself was born, he was not accepted as a kosher Jew. Why? Because of was not accepted as a kosher Jew because he is two reasons. So the explicit reason is that his descendant, he was descended from Ruth the Moabite, and the Torah says that the Moabite nation are not allowed to mix into Am Yisrael. So anyway, they had to learn out that it was Moab and not Moavi, and it didn't mean the women, it just meant the men. But up until that point, that wasn't the accepted view.
Night when David's father was selected to store him.
You're right. It's the second. The second point. There's a second. That's the second. So the first point is that they didn't think that the descendants were qualified to be Jewish because of Ruth and Moab. The second point is that maybe what you're alluding to there, that the Yishai, the father of David, has separated from his wife at that point. And again, in a similar story to Tamar and Yehuda, she dressed up and came to her husband, and they were together, and she bore another child, right? And the father Yishai thought that the child was illegitimate, thought it wasn't his, it's not mine, I haven't been with my wife. And that's why when Shmuel Anavi came to anoint the king, and he asked Yishai to see his sons, and he went through each one and said, sorry, it's none of these guys. You got anyone else? And he said, oh yeah, there is one. He's out in the field. Why was he out in the field? Because he didn't consider him one of his sons. And the Navi says, come and bring your sons before me. Right? The Navi of Hashem comes and brings you. You bring all the sons. Here's most of them. You don't do that. You bring them all, right? But why? He left one in the field. He's not really my son, but he's out in the field. So even he didn't think. Right, so King David came up through that. So we had this very difficult passage of Mashiach to get into the world, because to get through the realms of evil, to get through the difficulties. Interestingly, it says that. The next passage from after King David, the next passage of Moshiach, right? David, King David, could have been Moshiach, if not for the sin with Bathsheba. That could have been it. We could have finished it there. There's lots of times in history we could have finished it. The Gemara says with King Hezekiahu. He could also have been the Moshiach. He didn't sing Shira when he should have done. But why not King David? So the Midrash says that King David was a Gilgul of Adam, Harishon. Right? We know that Adam gave him 70 years of his own nefesh. So he was a Gilgul of Adam Harishon. And Bathsheba was a Gilgul of Chava. Right? And that's why he recognized her immediately and knew that she's my intended, she's my betrothed. Right? It was clear. But what happened? They were meant to rectify. Zohar brings. Yeah. They were meant to rectify the chet of Adam HaRishon. In what way? In the way of waiting. Right? We know that in the Gan Eden that Hashem said, basically, the Midrashim say that you just needed to wait until Shabbos. and then you could have eaten, it would have been fine. But you didn't wait until Shabbos. You ate, you took it too soon. I would have given it to you, and you would have eaten from the tree of life, and you would have lived forever, and that would have been it. But you jumped the gun. And so too David with Bathsheba. It was right that he be with her, but he jumped the gun. Not in that way. It was too quick. There was a time, a place, and whatever, and everything would be fine. But he saw, no, this is intended, this is what needs to happen, and too quick. So he didn't rectify it then. Okay. So, why is he called Mashiach? What do we learn from the name Mashiach? The name Mashiach itself has a meaning, it means anointed one, right? The one who is anointed. What does that mean, the one for anointed? Anointed is not a common day word. It means the one who's appointed. He's the one that's chosen. Right, the one that's chosen from Hashem. Also means that the idea of anointing is to, when you anoint someone with oil, you put on them the oil. Oil has a connotation of wisdom, right? The oil, the sechel. So he will be anointed. It comes back to this idea that at some level, at some point, he reaches a level, and then he gets this additional soul, this Yechidah, becomes Moshiach. He becomes something different than he was. At that point, he's anointed as Moshiach. At that point, he gets given this additional wisdom, this additional knowledge, as a gift from Hashemayim. Says in Prophet Isaiah, I'll read you the quote here: "Upon him, Moshiach, will descend a spirit of God, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of advice and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of God, and he shall breathe the fear of God. He will not judge by what he sees nor by what he hears, but he will judge righteously." Right? He will. Moshiach is going to transcend the human, the physicality, right? And will come to judge and to understand from the spirit and the wisdom and the essence from Hashem. Which is, it's an idea that what's happening really, that the Mashiach himself earned the position, if you like, by being righteous, right? By working on himself and getting to a certain level. But at that certain level, then it all came from Hashem. At a certain level, he achieves through his own Avodat Hashem. And at that level, he's now given this free gift. Which is a replica really of us. Our job as well is to work on ourselves, and in Yom HaShoah Mashiach we also get that free gift. We get that knowledge and awareness of Hashem, which we didn't create ourselves. It was given to us as a gift. The light shone and wow, we all woke up and we all saw Hashem. Right? There's a strong idea that we're all Mashiach is an aspect of all our neshamot, and we're all correspondingly an aspect of him. We're all an aspect of Mashiach. Mashiach will embody in one person all of us. He will have the neshama of everyone, that he can relate to everyone, he will know everyone, he will understand everyone. Right? But we're all a part of him, like an inverse relationship. Which is why when we look at the idea that Mashiach and the root of the neshama has to come through all these difficult places to get to where it is, we can see the same with ourselves, particularly those who are Baal Teshuvah, and even those who are not Baal Teshuvah, but more so with Baal Teshuvah. Like the places that we came from, the fact that I'm sitting here giving a class in Chut Shel Hesed, it's just, you know, if that doesn't merit a place alongside the other stories that we just mentioned, then, right? Right? And each one with his own similar story, right? But each one being a representation of that spark of Mashiach that is kind of all coming through those really weird, bizarre, nasty, dark places to get to where it needs to be. We're all doing that. And it won't only be Moshiach that experiences the free gift at the end. The ultimate redemption is going to come as a free gift. We're going to sit and watch, right? It's going to be a question of you just sit and do nothing, and Hashem does everything, right? We're going to, when the nations come to fight us, Hashem fights the final battle, right? It's done for us. We get to a certain place, and Hashem says, right, from here, I'm in control now. Take it from me. Moshiach is gonna sort everything, right? So we're in that process. You know, we're part of that Moshiach process. And the more we work upon ourselves, it's interesting. Rav Nachman brings that everyone is connected to other Jews, and people have below them and above them Jews in the spiritual tree, in the great tree of Am Yisrael. You have Jews that are dependent upon you, he writes. Jews that are dependent, not souls that are dependent upon you. What does that mean? It means like literally like your kids. But it also means like people like students. If you're a teacher, you've got students. They learn via you. It also means people who you don't even know. Through whatever reason, you gave charity over here. You helped this person. You don't know what you did when you told this person a nice drosha over Shabbos that you met him once and it's changed his life completely. Right, and he's now a different person. You have these people that are, right? He writes that when we learnt it with Rav Jor in the Torah, where are we now? 28 maybe. That when one person moves up, he moves up the next person above him. So if someone is below you in that tree and they're moving up, they push you up. You didn't do nothing. But now you're getting more kavanah in your davening. You're understanding the Torah better. You're understanding your Gemara a little bit better. And no reason why. I haven't particularly been working on myself. But people below me were working on themselves, and they pushed me up. So too we can see by Moshiach. Moshiach is the collective soul of Am Yisrael, and he's the pinnacle. Then, whenever we ourselves are moving up, we're pushing him up. Right, we're pushing our Rav Arush higher and higher. Right, each lesson, each class we do pushes Rav Arush higher and higher if we're connected to him.
So it means only when you bring people to Hashem, when you not bring, you cannot move.
No. You're Avodat Hashem. When you improve your Avodat Hashem, you take on yourself something. You know, from now on, I'm going to start learning Daf Yomi. From now on, I'm actually going to daven the Amida with Kavanah for an hour, right? You're taking on some new Avodat Hashem. If you manage to do that and you stick with it, then you're now at a higher level.
So,
and everyone above you has to move up correspondingly.
Which person?
Everyone above you, but you don't know who they are.
No,
not necessarily. If you're connected to Rav Arush, you're connected to Rav Dror, then for sure it includes them.
Yeah, but you have no connection. Let's say after you, you have no connection.
So, a person who is mamash not connected to anyone.
You're connected to others.
So you don't know who's connected below you. You don't know who's connected. You have people who are connected to you. You don't know. For sure, don't know that. Right? You have captains of hundreds, tens, and fifties, and whatever the. Right? It means that.
One question about Mashiach. You say we sit in the corner and Mashiach throughout the problem. Prayer,
he's going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Moshiach's job is to bring everybody back to seeing Hashem. He brings in here at the back, as one of the appendices, the story of the Master of Prayer. Read the story of the Master of Prayer. It's about a person, a bit like the Pied Piper of Hamelin. Does that make sense? Piper, the guy who took all the rats, he went into the town, he blew the whistle, blew the flute, and all the rats followed him out. Tom, anyway. So it's in a Lahavdil, similar way, he talked about the master of prayer. The master of prayer comes into the city and starts praying, singing, doing what he does. And all the people are like, oh, what's it? And then they just follow him, and they all leave. Right, not they all, but those who were waken up. So Mashiach's job is to waken up, to wake up people to the existence of Hashem. Right? To wake up people to the existence of Hashem. That's his job. Right? I'm not saying that our Rav is Mashiach, but he's certainly doing Mashiach's job, which is to wake up people to the existence of Hashem. And then that's what fixes our problems, if you haven't noticed, right? That's what a person who is living with the reality of Hashem doesn't have any problems, doesn't have any issues. He has growth opportunities, maybe. But, and in terms of what's going to be tough, we don't really know how to explain for sure the prophecies about all the nations of the world will come and serve us. There'll be 10 goyim hanging on each of your tzitzit, right? And they'll be bringing their money and stuff. So, what that exactly means, we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But certainly to get there, we have to make a transition to watching MTV and thinking that I'm going to live forever, like Rabbi Yeshua Goldstein was telling us, right, to reality, to this is me, this is Hashem, he's everything, I've been doing everything wrong up until now, I need to nullify myself, nullify my ego. That's a very difficult process, but the more we do, the more that pushes him up, and when he gets to a certain level, then Hashem can say, Yofi, we've reached the jackpot, we can now go for it. He's dependent upon us. Whoever Moshiach is, he's dependent upon us. Each individual person, which is why Rav Dror says that when Moshiach comes, he's going to tell each person the part they had to play in bringing Moshiach. What does it mean? How do I bring Moshiach? Like we said, that the Moshiach can only come when he has below him people who are pushing him up to reach that place. Right? He stand on our shoulders, if you like a pyramid. Right? When he reaches that place. And it doesn't need all of Am Yisrael. It needs a certain amount of Am Yisrael doing a certain amount of mitzvot at a certain level in order to create that reality. So everything we do does that. Every extra bit I do has an enormous global cosmic effect. And I don't know whether I'm a branch or I'm a root or I'm a leaf or where I am on that. And the truth is I can move. I might now be a little twig on the end of the thing, but when I work on myself, I become a branch, I thicken out, and now I've got shoots coming off me. And what happens is, if I now disseminate Torah, if I now spread Torah, and I give out books, and I give Divrei Torah, whatever I do, then there's more people below me. It's like one of those multi-level marketing schemes. The more people you've got below you, the higher up it pushes you. So now I'm able to exert much more influence going up. When I do something useful, that pushes a lot more because I've got a lot more feeding off me. And conversely too, the more people I have below me, the more books I gave out, I now have those merits feeding into mine, pushing me up. So, it's a whole... I can fall down. I can lose my position. If I'm not feeding the people below me, right, if I'm not being a big enough spiritual pipe, then they can't get their nourishment. Right? It's all coming down the spiritual pipe from the top and filtering through. But if I'm trying to stay small and I've got these 100, 200, 300 below me, they're all trying to feed from my little tiny pipe because I'm not working on myself. So they're either going to die, they're going to wither away, and they'll stop keeping what they're going to keep. Or they have to find someone else to feed from. So they'll leave me, and they'll go and join someone else. So although I gave them life, so to speak, whatever, however you want to define it, they're no longer in my food chain. I've got to increase myself. Rav Dror, when we had a class of four, so he had to work on himself a little bit. He had to go and do it now. He's got to do it every day and whatever. Now he's got a class of Baruch Hashem. He's working. He's not pashut. Right? You can't just stay at the same level and expect to be able to carry on giving.
But you only so you can reach
No, not the only way, but an example, because it's easier to see, because there you see the direct connection in reality. It's not. If you pray on other people, if you pray on people, they're now in your, right? You're now giving them life because you're praying on them, right? Moshiach is praying on the whole of Am Yisrael, praying for each and every, right? He's, let's go for it, right? He presses the button, so to speak, right? We've, so then we'll get onto the we'll stop there and we'll get onto the next section of this tomorrow.